football.
All right, let's talk to the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. It's the Jason Garrett Show on 105.3 The Fan. Coach, how are we doing today?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing okay. I want to get your reaction. The news just came down that Golden Tate, the Seahawks receiver, has been fined $21,000 for his hit on Sean Lee. Just kind of take me through what you thought when you first saw the hit, when you watched it on film, and your reaction to him being fined.
Well, I just think everyone felt like the league would do the right thing in that situation. There's been such an emphasis on player safety and all the different rules regarding defenseless players and what you can and can't do in terms of your contact with your head, launching, all of those different things that we've been talking about for the last couple of years. So I was a little surprised during the game that it wasn't called and that, in fact, something else was called on the sideline. But, you know, that's just the nature of it. Those things happen fast. You know, we weren't real consumed whether we had to get on to the next play, and we certainly had trust in the league that they were going to do the right thing.
And there was a time when you played football a long time and been around it for a long time. The game is changing. It's evolving towards more safety. Wasn't there a time when that was just a legal, vicious, but legal hit?
Yeah, and you said it. The game is changing, and the evolution of the rules, really in regards to player safety, have been happening probably for the last 10 or so years at least. You know, that's just the way the rules are, and that's what the game is come to, and I think it's all well-intended. I think the league is really concerned about the safety of the players. They feel like they can implement some of these rules without losing the spirit of the game. Certainly, the NFL game is as exciting as ever. They just want to make sure they get this thing right in regards to player safety.
How would you have looked upon it if one of the players took a little bit of retaliatory action against Tate?
Well, it's a tricky situation for a coach because you always talk to your players about having each other's back, but at the same time, you talk to them about poise and composure and making sure you're focused on the next play. So, you know, certainly backing up your own guy, Sean Lee in this case, is something that we want all of our players to do, but you want to do it within the confines of the game. And you don't want to get out of whack. You don't want to get overly emotional and start doing things that are going to hurt the team. That's just not what you want to do. That's not the response you want in that particular situation. But there's no question, you want to make sure he knows that you have his back, and there are plenty of opportunities to do that in the ensuing plays.
So if somebody would have taken action, you know, within the rules, you wouldn't have frowned upon it.
Taking action within the rules, I don't know what that means.
That means lighten him up legally.
What we want to do is we want to focus on getting our job done, to be honest with you, and doing what we need to do on the next play, really, in all phases of our football team. So you don't want to get distracted that way and start doing something that you wouldn't normally do. You want to do your job. You got to stay focused and disciplined that way.
Jason Garrett Show, 105.3 The Fan, every Wednesday, about 4 o'clock here on the home of the Cowboys. Let's spend a couple seconds on Seattle before we move to Tampa, if you don't mind. Looking back at that game, very uncharacteristic for your team. Most games under the Jason Garrett era have been very close games, very dramatic games. Your team's been ready to play. Looking back at the way that game started, was your team ready to play?
Oh, I think we were ready to play, but it's a great illustration for our players to understand the importance of execution, and particularly execution in relation to the football. And, you know, we weren't 5, 6, 7 seconds into the ball game. We fumbled the opening kickoff. And so I think our defense did a really good job in that situation. There's no question they were ready right from the start. When they get in that minus territory situation, they got to get a stop. They went out there and got a stop and held them to a field goal. And then, unfortunately, we had the block punt on the next series, so we're down 10-0 before we even started. And, you know, that's happened before to football teams. It's happened to some championship teams that I've been a part of, and you just got to respond to it. And really, it's about execution, particularly execution in relation to the football. And again, I thought our defense did a really good job responding over and over again to those different situations in the first half and gave us a chance to be in the ball game at halftime, overcoming all that. And then once we came back out in the second half, they just played better than we did. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And we just need to find a way to play better. They kept the ball a lot. They had 2 long drives. We had limited opportunities on offense, and we didn't take full advantage of them. They forced us to punt, and then they had the ball again, and I think we ended up having 16 plays of offense in the second half of that game. So before you know it, the game gets away from you. You have to overcome those early plays, and particularly in a place like that, it was a difficult situation. But, you know, like we talked about last week, coming off a big win, you have to move on to the next one, and that's what we've done with our football team.
You preached, and we've learned, that line one, as you call it, in the return game, is protecting the football. In light of Felix not protecting it, is that just a hiccup with him, and is he still your kick returner come Sunday against Tampa?
Yeah, Felix has made so many big plays for us over the years, both as an offensive player and as a returner. And, you know, ball security has not been a huge issue for him in the past. So, you know, I think you step back and you look at the body work, just like you would with any of your players. You got to be careful of overreacting to that situation. You know, you guys have heard me talk a lot. You need a lot of options at your punt returner and your kickoff returner positions for a lot of different reasons. And maybe more than any other, it's line one as a returner is ball security. And, you know, if one of your starting players, in this case Felix or Dez, one of those guys who are playing a lot on offense, goes down, you need to have somebody else who can go in. So we have a lot of different guys who work back there to make sure we take care of the football in those situations. I think in regards to Felix, you look at the body of work and you say, hey, this guy's made a lot of plays for us, hasn't had too many down plays, and this is our best option right now. We're excited to put him back there again.
You're not at all disappointed in him?
You know, I think Felix is really battled back from the injury he had last year. And, you know, to be honest with you, I think he's still getting himself healthy. And, you know, when you miss a lot of time in training camp and you're working your way back through it, sometimes it takes a little bit of time to get going. And we've seen that with a lot of players on our team in the past. And you just want to make sure you keep giving them chances to kind of work through some different things, particularly coming back from an injury. So, again, his track record with us has been pretty good. He's been a pretty explosive player for us, not only on offense, but in the kicking game. So we'll keep giving him chances as we go forward. We like what he's done for us in the past.
What's the rule on bringing back a kickoff? I mean, what's too deep to bring it back?
Well, I think different teams and different coaches have different rules about that. You know, we have some parameters that we like to talk to our returners about, not only about location of where, how deep he is in the end zone, but also where he is, you know, in the middle of the field, in one of the corners, you know, where his momentum is, how he's caught the ball. There are a lot of different factors, and then you add that with what kind of return you have on. I think all those things contribute to the decision you make. And, you know, one of the things you want to do is you want to be disciplined that way. You don't want to try to do too much and be overly aggressive to try to make a play and put your team in a bad situation. You know, I do think just anecdotally, when you look around the league, returners are being more aggressive trying to bring the ball out. We have some parameters. We talk to our guys about that. We want them to be disciplined to that for the reasons that we outline.
But when it's 8 yards deep, I mean, do you kind of hold your breath a little bit when they bring that thing out?
Yeah, unless the kick is really low and there's some other circumstances, we feel like 8 yards deep is pretty deep. And again, one of the things you have to do is you have to work on these things as much as you can in practice, because probably a little bit like a warning track in baseball or a punt returner and the 10-yard line rule that most teams have, sometimes they lose track of where they are and they think they're right where they're supposed to be, but boy, they look at it again, hey, I was 3 yards deeper than I should have been on that and I should have kept it in. So you keep working, you keep practicing, you hope they make good decisions, because it not only impacts them, but it impacts your football team.
Jason Garrett Show, 105.3 The Fan, your home of the Dallas Cowboys. End of the game in Seattle. It's 27-7. The game's over. I'm just curious. You're thinking in having Tony Romo in the game and dropping back to pass in that situation.
Yeah.
What's the risk-reward there?
Yeah,
it's
a tricky situation. You know, you talk to your team all the time about fighting and playing for 60 minutes, and there are different manifestations of that. You know, we talked about that as a staff. You have to be careful of having your guys out there. There was a real determination by the guys in our team to play 60 minutes and be out there and keep competing right to the end, regardless of what the score is. It really is a mantra that we have when you're winning or when you're losing. You play 60 minutes, you play the next play, all those things they've heard from me so much. But at the same time, there is a balancing act there, and we're fortunate in that situation that nothing happened. And, you know, we'll address those situations individually as we go forward.
Where do you stand on the victory formation, taking a knee at the end of the game? I mean, there was controversy in the Tampa Bay and Giants game. What's your philosophy on that?
Well, you like to put your team in a position where you can take that. You're the one taking the victory thing.
Y'all call that, sorry, y'all call that the victory formation?
We do. We actually call it the victory formation. And, yeah, so you want to get yourself in that situation. You love it when you're on offense in the victory formation. You know, different teams will have different philosophies on it. Some people will, you know, go back to the conversation we just had about having our guys out there. Hey, it's a 60-minute game, and you better be ready to play for 60 minutes. You know, some people have that philosophy. You know, I've been one that, you know, you try to be respectful in that situation of just taking a knee and you know, maybe not causing the controversy that happened in Tampa, but hey, I've been in situations where teams have had a different approach to that situation. So, you know, I understand what the conversation's about and why they're emphasizing that, because it is a 60-minute game, and if we get in that situation this week, hopefully we can get there and we'll understand where they've been in the past and handle it the right way.
Yeah, that's a good problem to have, is working on your victory formation, kneel down offense, defense, right?
Yes. It's a good way to say it.
I don't even know what I said, but I think it makes sense. All right, let's talk about Dez. What happened to him in Seattle? He disappears too much. Well, you talked about it in the offseason. He's got to be more consistent. 7 catches through 2 games. Your critique or your analyzation of Dez through 2 games.
Yeah, Dez just has to keep playing, just like everybody on our football team has to keep playing. And, you know, you're going to have some times when you make some big plays. Obviously, he did that in the Giant game, making plays down the sidelines, over the corner's head, making plays in the middle of the field. Had one good catch on a comeback up in Seattle. Sometimes you're more involved than other times. He just has to keep fighting through it. They played a style of defense where they were pressing him and giving him a good amount of attention. You know, we had a couple different protection issues. We had an opportunity up the sideline early on in the ball game to him that we missed on. We had another one in the middle of the field that he couldn't finish the play on. So there were some opportunities out there that for whatever reason we didn't get it accomplished. But that was like our team, and we just got to make sure we learn from it and go forward. And again, a real good challenge for him this week against Tampa.
You made a great analogy in training camp when you said that a guy like Michael Irvin and Alvin Harper could run all day. I mean, they could. They were runners. They ran patterns all day. Is Dez to that point?
Again, you guys don't. You know, I don't like to compare players. So
Them. You're just comparing a philosophy.
Yeah, I'm not going to compare them directly to Michael and Alvin. Those guys were great players at a different time. But you know, I think if you look at Michael's career early on, you know, he was working through some different things, coming back from a knee injury, and he got to a point that he was one of the elite receivers in the league, and he worked very hard to get there. And it probably happened in year 4 or 5 for him. And similarly with Alvin Harper. Became a big part of those teams in probably year 2 and 3. So, you know, Dez is in that same time frame as those guys, learning the game, learning how to prepare, learning how to fight through different things and handle the successes and the adversities that he has. So his work ethic has really, really improved since he's been here. He's always been very passionate about playing the game. It's just understanding how to work and get himself ready to go. And, you know, he just has to continue to get better in that area. And he certainly made great strides. We're lucky to have him. He's a big-time player. We've seen that at different times in his career. And we'll try to get him going consistently week in and week out. But that's the same thing with all of our players. You know, you want the consistent performance. And when you're playing a position like a receiver, sometimes you get more opportunities in a particular week, while somebody else might get more or less. And that's just the way it works. And you just have to keep playing. Our players understand that. And, you know, you just have to take advantage of the opportunities when you do get them.
We had a couple of texts and a couple of calls on this week, so I promised our listeners I would ask this question. Jason Garrett Show, 105.3 The Fan. Is there an easy answer to why DeMarcus Ware, one of the best pass rushers in the history of football, ever drops back in coverage?
Oh, I think if you look at the number of times that DeMarcus rushes compared to the number of times he drops backs, it's overwhelming in terms of rushing.
Sure. You know,
sometimes there's some scheme advantages to bringing some pressure from another side. Maybe he's getting double teamed and you know, you can create some mismatches or really creating an overload away from him because of all the attention he's getting, and you would drop him back out just to maintain the integrity of the coverage. But, you know, we understand how great a rusher he is. We understand the importance of a pass rush on a quarterback, and he, trust me, he gets plenty of opportunities.
Can you guys block Gerald McCoy this week?
We have to. He's an awfully good football player, plays three technique for them, and really an explosive guy off the ball, can affect the run game and affect the pass protection with his explosiveness and his ability to penetrate. So we got to make sure we get on him and kind of keep him under wraps as best we can throughout this ball game.
All right, your one crazy question of the week. Your time with us has dwindled. We all know that you played football and sports in high school. What other activities were you a part of?
What other activities was
right,
I a part
right,
of?
Like, were you on the debate team?
I was not.
Did you, you know, were you in the school play?
I was not in the school play.
Was it just strictly
And don't tell
football?
Us you're on the whack-a-mole team either. You tried that last week.
Yeah, I wasn't in, you know, I think I was in some student government, that kind of a thing, but I wasn't on the debate team, or I wasn't in the school plays. I didn't do a whole lot of that stuff. I had a real good experience in wood shop my senior year.
Tell us about that. What'd you build?
Want me to tell you the real story?
Yes.
Yeah, we want the real one, of course.
I was in a wood shop. It was one of those spring of your senior year type classes, and I made I made the equivalent of a Nerf basket, like a Nerf backboard, you know what I'm saying, with the fan-shaped deal. And I was making it out of wood, and I made a bad cut on the initial day, and it was kind of oblong. I wanted to kind of shape that thing down, and the wood shop teacher said, well, just get this thing, and I don't know what you call it, but you kind of shave it down. And literally, I spent the next 3 weeks shaving the shape of this thing instead of just cutting a new one. It would have taken me like 5 minutes to cut a new one. But I was in there for like 3 weeks, and he finally came up to me and said, you're actually occupying a lot of space here in the wood shop. And, you know, you really don't have to come to this class. I'll give you the same grade. So he just kind of wanted to move me along.
Now, how did wood shop help you at Princeton?
Well, you have to take, I can't remember exactly why you had to take it, but you had to take some of these offbeat type classes, two of them throughout your high school career, and I saved woodshop for spring of my senior year before he quietly asked me not to come back to class.
Well, then mission accomplished. That's what you wanted to do anyway.
Well, you know, it was one of those things where now I have eighth period free, but at the same time, I'm like, wait, did he just kick me out of class?
You got cut from the woodshop team. That doesn't look good on your resume.
So, anyway.
All right, well, how about this? To take the Buccaneers to the woodshed and stay away from woodshop.
Okay.
All right, Coach, good
absolutely.
Luck. We'll talk to you next week.
Nice talking to you guys.
There's the Jason Garrett Show on 105.3 The Fan.